Spain is one European country where, until yesterday, the Islamic State had not yet carried out an attack. But we shouldn't be surprised now that it has happened, given the history of Islam there. So says Mia Bloom. She teaches communications and studies extremism and extremist activities at Georgia State University. I asked her what we know about ISIS's involvement and why they might strike Spain.
ISIS claimed responsibility very quickly, within hours. And this is a contrast to how they have previously claimed responsibility, whether it was London Bridge or Manchester, where there's often a delay. And so partly this could be an indication of the level of operational connectivity between this cell and ISIS. But I also, it could be a reflection of the fact that ISIS badly needs a win. You know, it's happening at a time where they have lost so much territory in Mosul and in Syria. And so since December, when we started to see inroads and the degradation of their territorial control, they are under a huge amount of pressure to project power, that they are still relevant and that they can still organize attacks abroad. They even went so far as in their Rumia magazine, this is one of their propaganda tools that they distribute every month, that they had a step-by-step instruction booklet of how to use trucks precisely in this way. And then at the end of June, one of their key nodes in the ISIS fanboy network, Lone Mujahid, distributed these videos of, again, step-by-step instructions, how to do this. So this is right out of their playbook, but it's also at some level, may be surprising, a reflection of their weakness on the ground, that they really need to try to ramp up violence to maintain their significance and to show that they are still relevant.
So if the ISIS claim is real, if it is in fact ISIS that staged this attack, it would be their first major attack, first attack in Spain. Why did Islamic State target Spain this time, do you think?
Well, according to what they're saying on their social media, is that they talk a lot about the loss of Spain in 1492. They talk about the fact that the Spanish government has participated in coalition, has participated not just in the coalition against ISIS in Syria and Iraq, but today, for example, they were posting very critical comments about why Spain would even be involved in Afghanistan. And so, interestingly enough, if you hearken back to the belief about the reestablishment of the caliphate, Spain is far more important than a place like London or the United States, because it was at some point, you know, in the 15th century, part of the caliphate. It was the seat of power. And in fact, some of these well-known alcazars, some of these well-known Spanish castles have featured in their propaganda. What struck me is that I was in Spain just a few months ago, and I didn't get a sense that ISIS in Spain was as significant as in places like the Netherlands or Belgium or France or the UK or Germany. And so it is really a surprise that they were able to coordinate. If they did coordinate this kind of attack, they didn't have nearly as much manpower on the ground as you saw in some of the other European countries.
1492 is a long way back. I mean, the Spanish Inquisition, is that deeply embedded in the memory of ISIS?
The loss of Spain is deeply embedded, because if you look at the Muslim conquest of Spain, this was a period of the Golden Age. And so when many of the Islamic fundamentalists are hearkening back to a Golden Age, there's basically two Golden Ages. There's the time of the prophets, where they talk about the original Ansar, the supporters of the Prophet and the first four rightfully guided. But then they also talk about this period of amazing expansion where, as we know, the Muslims got up to the gates of Vienna. They got into France in the 7th century. So what you have is this hearkening to an era in which they were expanding rather than contracting, which is what we're seeing in Syria and Iraq right now. They're contracting.
Now, in the same week this attack happened in Spain, a lot of people in this country are facing the reality of violent right-wing terror here after this man from Ohio ran down counter-demonstrators in Charlottesville last weekend and, of course, killing one of them. When you look at threats facing Americans on a daily basis, is the bigger threat from ISIS and al-Qaeda, or is it from the far right? What do the stats show us?
Well, the stats show us that about 72% of the attacks in the last few years have been right-wing extremism, and 27% have been from Islamist jihadi groups. And so just based on that, you know, based on research and data that has been collected, not just by the Southern Poverty Law Center, but also by the New America Foundation, there is no inconsistency in the data. When you look at the tactics and you look at what is the intention, what is the motive, what is the mechanism of this attack, you stop getting into the punditry of whether it can be called something else. We see these similarities. And as a community of terrorism scholars, we are very concerned.
So the week kind of begins with Charlottesville. It ends with Barcelona. How would you sum up what you've seen this week?
I would say that in order to continue to prevent attacks in this country, we need to have communities that are willing to pick up the phone and call the police. And if we alienate those communities, or if those communities decide that they are not going to come forward, it is a much more dangerous America. And so in not calling Charlottesville terrorism, in saying that there was violence on both sides, the administration is increasingly alienating the communities that have prevented all the horrible things from happening in the United States that we've seen happening in Europe. And I think we need to understand that the Muslim communities are the bulwark against radicalization and the prevention of attacks that we're seeing every few weeks in Europe not happening in the United States.
Mia Bloom at Georgia State University. She's also the author of Dying to Kill: The Allure of Suicide Terror. Thanks very much.
Thank you so much for having me, Marco.